the desktop?
No. It's on our hard drive.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
For posterity.
Oh, wonderful. Then I don't have to convey it, right? So you have it.
Right. And we're going to open it here.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. There are only a few slides.
Oh, okay. And so what I'm going to do...
What it reminds you of, actually...
I want to eject you.
Oh, thank you so much. How wonderful.
So, now,
so helpful. Thank you.
You are ready to roll.
Thank you.
It looked like I was close to the end.
Yeah, let's check that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, sometimes, you know, you have such contempt when you don't want to get up and go to the bathroom.
I know. Oh, I had somebody tweet when I left.
Yeah.
I was sharing and I was like, it was 3.5 hours.
Okay. So.
Wonderful.
You'll be all ready.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you. And.
Oh, you are. I've never read it. Yeah, I'd like to read it. Yeah. Yeah. That was 5 and up, you think? That's for sure.
Yes, my favorite game.
That's the only.
Not yet.
All right, that's a quorum.
What?
That's a quorum.
Okay. There it is. No, I don't see a text from you. There's something about jewels. Oh. What's that? Okay.
So somebody I just wanted to work with told me that someone coming in at the end to talk about all of who wants to come in and be on
campus. Okay.
Really?
All right.
I'm like, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Went to somebody. Okay, folks. Let's get ready to get back to the hearing, folks. 5 minute breaks are very dangerous here because they tend to become longer than 5 minutes. We'll reconvene in about 30 seconds here. So.
Is this going to be fun tonight?
Going to the Caldera fundraiser.
Good. That will be fun.
Yeah. I really believe in that program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll take up where we left off and call the next three people, please.
And the next three are Kate Washington, Indrani Boyle, Christine Sarles. They'll be followed by John Spencer, Daniel Caven, and David Gold.
Okay. Come on up. Welcome. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Indrani Boyle. I'm an associate campus planner at Portland State University, and I'm here on behalf of our director of campus planning, Jason Franklin, who served on the stakeholder advisory committee but couldn't be here this afternoon. I'm here to express support for the recommended draft West Quadrant plan. The plan emphasizes the continued success of downtown Portland and also improves key areas. The success of PSU is undeniably linked to the success of downtown Portland. I don't think we can pretend otherwise. PSU is a major landholder and employer in the Central City, and we believe that this plan supports PSU's mission and future growth. Like much of the Central City, PSU's growth is becoming more dense and mixed use. Any new buildings are likely to have a partnership component with either another institution, a nonprofit, a government agency, or part of the private sector. And in order to enhance that kind of development, we need the appropriate land use entitlements and infrastructure development. We believe this plan makes that possible. We welcome the levels of density recommended in the plan, which will increase the vibrancy of the university district, may create new opportunities, and also increase private housing development, which serves PSU students. We want to recognize the hard work of staff and the advisory committee. And again, we encourage you to adopt the plan. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Christine Sarles. I am a 25-year resident of downtown Portland. I've lived by Portland State, where I attended and where I graduated from. I lived in Imperial Arms in Goose Hollow. I've also lived in Northwest near the Fred Meyer, near Civic Stadium. And I'm currently, as of the last 13 years, living in the Pearl District in Irving Street Lofts, which is the Pearl part of the Preserve the Pearl area. I'm here on my own behalf, however. So what I do support, actually, what he was talking about, however, in terms of the historic part of the Pearl District, which is slowly disappearing, actually more like rapidly disappearing. And it's interesting you're here from you're representing Portland State. Well, Portland State actually has been known for its urban planning. And its urban planning in terms of how Portland is right now, in terms of its footprint and walkability, livability, and building height restrictions. And on that, and when I graduated from Portland State, I had very specific career goals in mind. And I made a conscientious choice to pick a career that I, of course, would enjoy, but would give me the greatest chance of being able to remain in Portland. I did so because I appreciate the lifestyle and quality of life that this city affords me. A large part of my lifestyle and hence quality of life has much to do with the urban design of the city. Portland State had that influence. I truly enjoy walking around Portland and living here. Key to this sound design is a restriction on building heights. In any case, many of us here today are distressed, not about development. In fact, development can have a very positive impact on communities. No, we are distressed over the fact that the West Quadrant Plan, in its current iteration, seeks to eviscerate the identity of Portland, a city that, for the most part, currently affords many of us a higher standard of living than we would find in other cities. And this has such a great deal to do with building heights. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Can you just tell me, how many stories is Irving Street Lot?
It is 75 feet high. It is 7 stories.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Okay. Next, please.
John Spencer, Daniel Caven, David Gold. They'll be followed by Bill Riley, Ted Gilbert, Harvey Black.
Good evening. You're on first, Mr. Spencer.
Good afternoon, commissioners, and thank you for hosting this event. I'm here representing the Urban Design Panel, which is made up, and the executive committee of that panel, which is made up of members from the American Institute of Architects, the American Planning Association, and the American Society of Landscape Architects. So it's a multidisciplinary group that gets together a couple times a month and deals with urban design issues in the central city and other parts of Portland and other parts of the region. We've been a participant in the planning process through some charrettes that our members have attended. We've hosted some workshops with staff, so we've been involved in the process, and we support the West Quadrant Plan as it's presented to you here, and we support the maximum height limits that are incorporated as part of the plan. I think our group feels that it's important, and there's a whole history of planning in Portland where it's well regulated, but there are allowances for a whole lot of variety of building types and building forms and building shapes and building sizes on our small blocks, including some tall buildings. And we really don't see the recommendations, basically refinements, I believe, of the current height limits as being big issues or a threat to the scale and diversity and the livability that a lot of people have been talking about.
Excuse me, sir. Could we start the clock on this?
Oh, that's all right. Keep going.
I'm finished.
Since you have 2 minutes, and you represent a lot of people here, what do you say to? We've heard a lot of people say that they believe that the character of Portland is at risk with this height, and they've talked about a range of things from demolitions to inequality to vertical sprawl and other things. And you obviously have a very strong view to right. the contrary, but very briefly, could you comment on that?
I think all you have to do is look at the area between the Wells Fargo Bank and the U.S. Bank Tower. The height standards of like 400 and some odd feet between those two buildings have been in place since 1972. And you can pretty much count the number of towers that are even close to the maximum height on two hands. So I think that the scale of development and the scale of growth that's being talked about for this area, in my mind, doesn't conjure up the sort of row after row after row of towers that, you know, people seem to be implying that this plan would allow.
Right, that spine along the Transit Mall has been pretty much unchanged for 30 years.
Right. We've got some written testimony, and we've actually addressed some of the points that have been brought up, so I won't go into that, but you should have a copy of that.
Okay, thank you. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. Evening, I guess. My name is Daniel Caven, and I am the managing director of William Caven Architecture and the founder of Caven & Company, a development company. I speak to you today from the world of architectural optimist and number-crunching hopeful. Specifically, I would like to further elaborate on the height in Old Town Chinatown, as I am currently developing a catalytic project in the neighborhood. I strongly encourage you to raise the height in Chinatown proper to 150 feet, unencumbered by historic resource transfers. 150 feet is the minimum height limit to build a structure that will be enjoyed for generations to come and pencil out in today's economy. The current limit of 100 feet simply does not allow for the economy of scale to utilize generational building systems. We are in danger, Portland, in becoming a city of 5-over-1 wood buildings, which top out at about 65 feet. Do not weather well and do not perform as well in an earthquake. An international jury assembled this year for the AIA Portland Architecture Awards publicly chided the local design community here for the uninspired and homogenized 5-over-1 wood apartment buildings. Lastly, I encourage you to seek counsel in discussing the West Quadrant plan with teens and 20-somethings. Speak to those that are going to live with the decisions we make today. They are not well represented in this process. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
Hey, our commissioners. My name is David Gold, and I am one of the owners of the Block 33 that's been discussed so much today, commonly known as Jack's Old Town Parking Lot. I also own or I'm part of the ownership teams of the buildings across the street, known as Goldsmith Blocks, and also the Technology and Arts Block. Let me preface my remarks, though, by saying that on a recent trip to Dallas, unfortunately, one of the high points of my trip was to see the deck, which is the cover of three blocks of freeway, and it's fabulous.
Been there.
Unfortunately, the football game was not the high point. but that truly, if you haven't seen it, even Google Map it. It's worth taking the 2 seconds to
look
at.
I can top that. I got to hear Lyle Lovett sing on that
deck. Okay. So I'm here, I guess, to mainly discuss the height issue. And I think Daniel covered some of my testimony. I want to emphasize that the 100-foot limit is truly a unique mark because it is that in-between And it dictates the style and the type of construction that you will eventually see or development. I find myself in an interesting situation. I'm not a big fan of surface parking lots, but yet I own a full block. But I also want to do a legacy quality project there. And I think that the 100-foot limit, and I think I've persuaded many of the people in the neighborhood, the stakeholders in the neighborhood, that the 150 feet will at least allow the possibility of a truly true quality project. I'm not interested in a 5-over-1 project on that block. It may happen, but it wouldn't be me. I wouldn't develop it. Real quickly, I would say that the Uwajamaya, I'm not going to say make a statement that it would have gotten built if there had been 150 feet. There was a lot of other considerations, but it's a good possibility. It was something that we tried to include, but we thought that we couldn't spot zone. We went through it with another developer for office, for housing, could not make anything pencil at the 100-foot limit. The last thing, I'm not sure what the status of the parking lot tax is, but I want to make it clear we were at about a $14 million gap, and I don't care how much the tax was on the surface parking, it wouldn't have made any difference. And as the landlord for small retailers, small businesses, I'm talking really small businesses, and small creative office spaces, the first thing those folks ask me is, where do I park? And increasing the cost of parking to those folks and their customers, it's just another nail in the coffin down there. So I think we need to keep that parking available, especially as we build new projects and don't require parking for those projects.
David, if you mentioned that there was a delta of like 14, 15, 16 million, whatever, on the Wajamaya deal, if we went to 150 feet at block 33, do you have visions for that development that pencil out without public subsidy?
Can I go back to Daniel?
No.
No, I think that the greatest challenge there is going to be the parking. I mean, I think that we've been talking about which urban renewal area we're going to be in, and that's fine. There's, I think, $6 million in downtown waterfront. There's more in the River District. But really, the parking is going to be the big hurdle because I'm insistent that the demands of the new building be met plus the 175 spaces that are currently existing be replaced. So because I own over 110,000 square feet of office and retail across the street, there's got to be parking for those folks. And, for example, the New Grove Hotel, they're proposing a 9-story building with I think, 110 units total. No parking. So parking is going to be scarce.
And underground parking is unbelievably expensive and does not make very much money. I mean, that's the big problem, particularly being in a location that's near the river.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Thanks very much. Thank you all.
Next three are Bill Riley, Ted Gilbert, and Harvey Black. And they'll be followed by Gary Kruger, Jim Kilpatrick, and Jamie Anderson.
So are those folks still here other than Mr. Black?
Bill Riley, Ted Gilbert. Oh, let's go with Gary Kruger or Jim Kilpatrick. Jamie Anderson, Judy Bell.
Yep. Okay. Come on up. And why don't you go ahead and start, Mr. Black.
All right. I'm Harvey Black, Chair of Friends of Goose Hollow, LLC. I will not repeat the testimony that was sent to all of you about 10 days, 2 weeks ago. As others have pointed out, the voice of the individual citizen was not allowed to be heard in the Stakeholders Committee. My comments will be on how to achieve increased population density while preserving livability. We have been successfully living with the urban growth boundary for many years. Its effects have been beneficial in curbing urban sprawl. However, the concept presumes a rising population density within the boundary. The U.S. Census of 2010 shows that the Goose Hollow and the Northwest District, taken together, have the fourth highest population density in Oregon. The rank would have been higher, probably 2 or 3, if the PSU students hadn't been considered as residents for the population. When one travels through Goose Hollow and Northwest Districts, one finds that a majority of the existing buildings are less than 75 feet. We advocate limiting height for new construction in these districts to 100 feet, and this will allow a substantial increase in density while maintaining the livability of the area. And I might note that in the presentation of the West Quadrant Plan, which started this meeting, there was no rationale nor justification for the rising of heights. It was, there's no reasons. Now, there may be good reasons, which I am not aware of, but we didn't hear any. And I thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks. Good evening.
Good afternoon. Good evening. My name's Jamie Anderson, and I've been a resident of the West End for almost 8 years. And everybody else has spoken much more eloquently than I am able to, but I wanted to speak my support of lowering the maximum building heights in the West End to 100 feet. Portland has a real history of being progressive and forward-thinking. We've benefited from the foresight and careful planning of previous generations, from the park blocks developed in the 1880s to the esplanades on the Willamette River in the 1990s to public sculpture gardens to the streetcar to bicycle lanes. Every effort has been made to enhance the livability of the city, and I am hoping that that same thoughtful planning will continue to the West End. It's a quality of life that is offered by that human-scaled environment, and it provides all the neighborhood necessities for area residents in buildings that don't dwarf the older buildings. And that's part of what would continue to make Portland one of the most attractive and livable cities on the West Coast. You are at a point where you will decide the trajectory of our neighborhood's growth. I hope you will look forward and plan appropriate densities and still refer to Portland's past. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Jim Kilpatrick. I am a business owner and a property owner at 17th and Taylor, which is in the Goose Hollow neighborhood. My company has brought people and vitality to a building that had been vacant for many years there. In 2005, we moved in with 20 employees. Today, we have 140. My partners and I have invested a great deal of capital into our building in the neighborhood to accommodate that growth. We moved into a drab stucco building with little punched windows. Today, it's a creative open office space with floor-to-ceiling window wall. It's LEED certified, and we've achieved City of Portland sustainability at gold designation. It's a bustling, cool place to work. All that's to say that I'm invested and in deeply care about the future and character of the Goose Hollow neighborhood. My business partner, Greg Wimmer, served on the neighborhood board for many years to represent our interest in establishing a direction that supported job growth and redevelopment. In that regard, I've studied the West End plan, particularly as it relates to the Goose Hollow neighborhood, and I support it as written. The neighborhood process we participated in over the last 5 years was transparent and did include a diverse representation of the property owners in that area. The new neighborhood board, which advocates for height reduction, does not represent us. The board elections were swept by the residents of a single building and don't speak for most of the business and property owners in the neighborhood. I urge you to honor the work that the well-intentioned Portlanders on the SAC and VRC has done and move forward maintaining the current height limitations that are currently reflected in the West Quadrant Plan. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would urge the council to carefully consider Michael Mahaffey's documentary submission in this matter.
Yeah, thank you very much. We will. Thank you all. Okay, next.
Sorry. See, the next three are Judy Bell, Jill Long, and Deanna Mullen Crispin.
Okay, looks like you got all three.
And then we all will have Debbie Kitchen, Mark Velke, and Mary Veal Hall, I believe it is. The large, sorry.
Welcome.
Hi.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
My name is Judy Bell, and I'm a resident of the West End, and will read a statement by a fellow resident who was unable to attend today. My name is Christine Nielsen. I'm a resident of the West End and past chair of the Elliott Tower Condominium Owners Association. I chose purposely to live in the West End, an area of mixed-use structures evocative of the time when Portland's distinctive neighborhoods were developing around streetcar lines. I value that this is not the glamorous Pearl District or the futuristic South Waterfront. This is a neighborhood in an old-fashioned sense. I ask you to consider the treasured history of turn-of-the-century Portland in the West End's existing buildings. Should the allowable heights specified in the draft West Quadrant Plan be adopted, the buildings that not only give the neighborhood character, but offer affordable housing to a large number of elderly on fixed incomes, Portland State students, and those of moderate means who work downtown, would over time give way to more costly housing and lead to gentrification. This is a neighborhood that should continue to develop to support a balanced mixture of populations across the economic spectrum. What we call the middle class is the least represented in the West End. In order to add new residents that will bring additional vitality to our neighborhood and at the same time protect the character of the neighborhood and continued affordability across the spectrum of incomes, building height must not exceed 80 to 100 feet. For those locations in the West End where buildings in excess of 8 to 10 stories might make sense, developers should be required to seek and win a variance, making the case for how the added height will strengthen the area, not degrade it. Ideally, new buildings of 5 to 8 stories should be encouraged. In that way, new development will enhance the fabric of the neighborhood.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Jill Long, and I'm an attorney with Lane Powell. I'm here today on behalf of our client, the Multnomah Athletic Club. As a proud member of the Goose Hollow community for almost 125 years, the MAC is excited to be here today to testify in support of the West Quadrant Plan. We would like to thank the city, the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, and the Planning and Sustainability Commission for its diligent and hard work in creating this plan. Over an 18-month period through multiple public work sessions, public hearings, the MAC has seen the city take a thoughtful and balanced approach to protecting Goose Hollow and promoting reasonable growth in Goose Hollow. In particular, the MAC appreciates the plan's efforts to support the many different components that make up the vibrant Goose Hollow neighborhood. Goose Hollow is a unique urban neighborhood with transit-rich amenities and a true mixed-use character. It's made up of a wide variety of uses from business to retail to residential and, of course, to regional destinations, such as Providence Park and the Multnomah Athletic Club. It's a challenge to honor each of those types of uses while still protecting the character of Goose Hollow, but we believe that the proposed West Quadrant Plan does that very successfully. Goose Hollow is a critical component to a healthy central city, and the West Quadrant Plan ensures that it will remain a successful neighborhood for decades to come. And the MAC looks forward to being a proud member of Goose Hollow for another 125 years at least. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hello. I'm Deanna Crispin, Mueller Crispin, and I live in the West End. I have 4 points to make. First, keep Portland, Portland. You've heard that quite a bit today. Second, it is a false notion that housing density can only be achieved by high rises. That's just not true. Talk about it more. Third, affordable housing is not being addressed in the proposed plan. We've heard about that a lot, too. And fourth, citizens and experts were not listened to in this planning process. Keeping Portland, Portland. The design principle to shape the skyline seems to apply to a person driving a car across the Willamette River, maybe, and looking over at the city, but it really has no meaning for someone who's trying to live and work in the city. And I might mention that nearly 80% of the West End, where I live, is zoned for between 250 and not 350, but 460 square feet, which totally contradicts livability goals. Unique neighborhoods are Portland's trump card, and our historic buildings are an essential part of the ambiance that we love. But although there's a place for tall buildings in Portland, they need to be located strategically, not allowed willy-nilly everywhere. Second, density. As a teenager, I visited the Cumberland Apartments on the blocks, a wonderful four-story building built in 1910, and I immediately wanted to live there. The zoning is 50 feet tall, zoning permits 250. It provides 32 housing units on 0.1 acre. Is this dense housing? I think so. Third point, affordable housing is not being created or preserved in Portland. You've heard that a lot. The plan's housing goal is to preserve existing supply and continue to support development of existing housing, but there is nothing in the plan addressing preserving affordable housing and little substance to implement the goal other than developing tools to partner with the private development community. Timeline, 2016 to 2021. I just wanted to say one thing about experts not being listened to. I was particularly disappointed that many well-considered comments by the AIA's Portland Historic Landmark Commission, dated 9/3/14, recommending revisions to the plan were disregarded. Those comments would have reinforced both Green City goals and reuse of existing resources.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Next three are Debbie Kitchen, Mark Belke, and Mary Valere, I believe, maybe the last name. It's on Southwest Market.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay.
Welcome.
Well, thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for the opportunity to comment today on the West Quadrant Plan. I'm Debbie Kitchen, and I'm testifying on behalf of the Central East Side Industrial Council. Our board and members are very concerned about some of the language in the West Quadrant Plan that addresses possible removal of the or reconfiguration of the west side ramps on the Morrison Bridge. We feel this would be a critical issue for us. We have fought very hard to preserve freight movement in and out of our district, and we need the west side ramps not only to get access to I-5, but we need it to get access to North to Highway 30 and points west. Right now, the Ross Island Bridge is extremely congested. If traffic had to move there, or all the traffic had to move up to Broadway Bridge, that would have impacts on a lot of other neighborhood business districts as well, not just the Central East Side. So we're very concerned about those issues. The Central East Side is home to over 17,000 jobs. During the recession, our district was one of the most successful in terms of still growing jobs. We have a number of businesses and products that are made there, including building materials, food products, furniture, coffee, beer, bicycles, machinery, athletic equipment. There's just, you could go on and on. Many of these businesses are traded sectors, so they contribute to the economic health of the region, and we need to be able to access our transit system and transportation system in order to get our goods to market. The industrial composition of the district also enhances the opportunity for blue-collar and family wage jobs that contribute to the city's goals for equity. So, in short, we want to preserve the ramps on the Morrison Bridge, the west side ramps, in order to ensure that we have efficient freight movement. This is really critical for our district, and so that's what I'm here today to talk about.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you also, thank you for your testimony and for hanging in there. I know everybody's been very patient taking your turn. There's an item that says explore opportunities to mitigate noise and visual impacts of the East Side Freeway on Waterfront Park, which I would assume might mean some kind of noise barrier on your side of the river? Did you have any conversation about
that? We weren't sure what that means, and we didn't feel that that was as important an issue. If it's set up so that there are ways you can do it by resurfacing the bridge, you know, that you can have noise reduction. There's ways you can put a little bit higher walls around the lanes, you know, that would help with noise mitigation. We don't feel, as long as they didn't decrease the size of the bridge in terms of number of lanes and ability to move, that that was a concern. If I'm not sure what other measures there might be, so it could be that if we saw more detailed plans that had something to do that impacted the portal capacity for, you know, the freeways, then we might have a concern.
Okay.
But some of the measures that people have talked about didn't seem to be a concern for our access of freight and freight movement.
Well, that's something for that I'll have more information from staff. But I really appreciate you bringing the perspective that what happens in the West Quadrant doesn't stay in the West Quadrant.
Right.
It doesn't only affect folks in the West Quadrant, right? It affects the whole city. And so you bring an important perspective. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Mary Valente. I'm a resident of the Goose Hollow neighborhood, an architect, and the mother of two young children. And after sitting here today, I might want to add that they will be graduating college, looking for a job, and looking for a home at that time when this plan comes due. So this is very relevant to my family and people of my age group. I was a Goose Hollow Foothills League board member from 2009 to 2013, chair of its visioning committee from 2011 to 2013, and was the neighborhood's representative on the West Quadrant Stakeholders Advisory Committee. I am here today to encourage council to approve the recommended draft. Goose Hollow has been working on this draft for more than 4 years now. The Goose Hollow Vision Realization Committee, established in 2011, sought to bring together a diverse representation of neighborhood stakeholders to craft its vision prior to the Central City 2035 process. The work of that committee culminated in a list of neighborhood principles that were incorporated into the draft before you. I'd like to thank the many residents, Goose Hollow board members, neighborhood businesses and representatives from Lincoln High School, the MAC, Hotel Deluxe, the Oregonian, and Artist Repertory Theater, who served on this committee during that time the principles were drafted. In addition, I would like to thank the staff at BPS for their time and attention to the neighborhood. They spent countless hours attending neighborhood meetings, organizing and conducting a neighborhood charrette, open house, and drafting and redrafting district goals and policies to align with the neighborhood vision. The document before you successfully incorporates the aspirations of the Goose Hollow neighborhood and provides for improved livability for its current and future residents. The plan envisions a neighborhood Main Street on Jefferson with a restored Vista Bridge at its terminus, a redeveloped Lincoln High School site with a public green space and community center, a safe and improved Burnside, a vibrant mixed-use center around Providence Park, affordable family and workforce housing, and a cap over 405. As a neighborhood, we are rightfully excited at the prospects and are ready to start implementing the plan. To do so, this council can help. I would recommend, in addition to adoption of this document, council considers acting on the following four issues critical to Goose Hollow and the city at large in the near future. First of all, Lincoln High School. The Portland Public School Board has approved a new Lincoln to be included on the 2016 bond. Master planning of the site will begin soon. This is a critical piece of property in the Goose Hollow and the Central City at large. City collaboration with PPS, the neighborhood, and the Lincoln community in the coming months is essential to maximize its potential. And on Burnside, this is the only street in the West Quadrant termed a high crash corridor. The draft does little to improve it, instead referring to adopted council policy favoring a couplet. There was talk about a fallback plan, but nothing has been done. The street is too important to let languish, and council should take action as soon as possible. As far as the I-405 cap, yes, this is a big project, but every neighborhood that touches 405 recognized it as a barrier and a source of noise and pollution that detracts from the livability of the city. As the city grows, area over 405 will continue to gain in value. It cannot just continue to be a line item in a long-range plan. And finally, the historic inventory. This is very important to Goose Hollow and many other parts of the city. With population growth making our historic structures more vulnerable, this inventory and the methods we use to protect them needs to be revisited and updated as soon as possible. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Good points. Thank you. Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Mark Velke. I'm a retired Navy veteran of 25 years and a Goose Hollow resident. 3 months ago, seven new GHFO board members who were endorsed by Friends of Goose Hollow overthrew the old Goose Hollow Foothills League board after they refused to listen to residents' concerns and abandoned their obligation to the neighborhood. For a decade, the Goose Hollow Foothills League board has been dominated by developers and business interests who often held over 50% of board positions, even though they make up only 10% of the membership. Developers and business members friendly to developer positions were the dominant voices. They stacked committees and the board with their allies, making it difficult for most residents to be heard. For example, as the minutes show, the Vision Realization Committee was designed by these folks to get around the GHFL Planning Committee. yet West Quadrant staff relied heavily on this committee to make decisions for what Goose Hollow wants. Residents who disagreed with business members about planning and development were discredited, defamed, shouted down, forced off the board, and have their livelihoods threatened. The residents' removal of developer and business control over Goose Hollow must be addressed, since this changes what Goose Hollow wants for the West Quadrant plan. I'm also worried about who the Planning Bureau chose for its stakeholders committee. You know, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement requires neighborhood association board members avoid conflicts of interest. They must disclose any interest they have in a transaction or board decision that may result in a financial gain to them, their businesses, family members, or employers. And they can't be present for or participate in board discussions or votes on decisions that will gain that they will gain financially from. If the Planning Bureau stuck to the same code of ethics for the so-called stakeholders of the West Quadrant, then a large portion of the committee couldn't have participated. Many of the stakeholders will profit financially if the West Quadrant plan goes their way. The Melvin Mark Development Company even had two representatives on the stakeholders committee. No wonder they voted for unlimited height limits. Meanwhile, not a single resident of the West End was on the stakeholders committee. Commissioners, I want you to understand that the opinions heard from West Quadrant stakeholders were slanted in favor of developers who stand to gain millions of dollars by steering height limits, FAR, bonuses, and zone changes in their favor. I would like you to hold the West Quadrant stakeholders to the same ethical standards that neighborhood board members have. Please give time for the Goose Hollow residents to be heard. We are asking that you delay your vote until Goose Hollow holds its membership vote on height limits February 11th. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Parrott, can I ask a question about this Goose Hollow foothill board election? I'm just curious, how many people voted in that election, and how does that compare to the total population of Goose Hollow?
If I remember right, there were, I think, around 80 people at the meeting. And if I remember from reading the census, which was several years ago, I think there was around 5,000 to 6,000 people in Goose Hollow. But 80 members at an election, that's huge. I can't even remember the last time, maybe somebody who's been to a few more of them than me, but that's a huge turnout to get 80 members to show up at a meeting. Typically, we get about, 10 or 12, 15, something like that.
Thank you.
Can
I add one thing with that? Just is that any resident has a vote if they join. So there are obviously other interests besides residents in the neighborhood too. And so, for example, a theater or somebody else only has one vote, whereas a condominium building or something would have obviously hundreds of votes.
Right. Got it. Thank you all. Thanks very much.
Okay. Next three are Wilfred Mueller Crispin, Ken Puckett, and Steve Pinger. What about Terry Chung? Jerry Powell? Terry's here, sorry. Oops.
Why don't you
Terry,
go ahead and,
sorry, Terry Chung. That's not you. Okay.
Why don't you go ahead and start? Then.
Good evening. My name is Wilfred Mueller Crispin. I would like to give testimony in favor of height restrictions to a maximum of 100 feet in the West End. I do live downtown Portland on 10th and Jefferson. We need to revitalize already existing buildings and have further studies before plan adoptions. I call it livability for the many rather than the enrichment and ego building to the few. I was born in Germany, just as a background. I grew up in a smallish town near Frankfurt, Germany. My sister used to work there for 45 years, one of the main business streets that Frankfurt has. She used to be very comfortable in that city. Many high rises went up in between, and she today wouldn't set foot after sundown into Frankfurt because of the increased crime and the discomfort that you get with a city with a lot of high-rises and not much more. So just as a reference, my wife and I moved to downtown Portland in 2008 from an unincorporated Washington County, had half an acre. What attracted us was the openness and variety of the architectural building styles, many of them historical value, giving the city warmth and character and livability of the downtown area. The city that is walkable, vibrant, and full of life, as promoted by Travel Portland. Many of you have noticed how many groups come to Portland, visitors, guests, who want to visit Portland as it is today. An increase I noticed over the last 10 years very easily. They're coming here because of what Portland is, not what it might be. I've visited over 65 countries, many cities with high rises. The ones I feel most comfortable in and safe are cities of human scale. For example, I take up a second, Dresden, clean slate after World War II, could have been rebuilt in any which way you think of. You go there, they're actually proud that they only have one high rise in the city. You go there, you go to St. Petersburg, anywhere in the world, Paris, you feel good because it has a human scale to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerry, welcome.
Mr. Mayor, commissioners, I'm Jerry Powell. I live at 1926 Southwest Madison Street, and you generally know me. I'm a retired planner, and I've been active in my neighborhood for 40 years. Daniel Burnham said, make no little plans. And in a funny way, this is a little plan. Not because it's small in scale, but because it's a bit timid. The downtown plan, I was actually a participant in the downtown plan in the early 70s, established a pattern for the central city that talked about its scale. And it talked about it in a way that attempted to draw people, attract people to it rather than send them away from it. In terms of the visual environment of this place, and this is the capital word, or capital P place. Very, very important. Anyway, the envelope of downtown was to scale down to the river so that it didn't eclipse the river. It was to scale down to the historic districts so it didn't eclipse them. It was to provide vision and views and vistas, not only of the town, but from the town, not just a single pathway from the Rose Garden to Mount Hood, but a view that encompassed the place. Place comes up repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. It is what we are about. If we didn't have the green fringe around downtown, we wouldn't be us. We can't lose that. When a building penetrates the skyline, the skyline becomes about that building, not about the place. The Goose Hollow neighborhood is historic. Basically, it's a historic suburb, and it's become an urban place. The scale of that place was clearly the dominant concern when we did a neighborhood plan 20 years ago. Stadium Station Plan is what it's called in the official annals, but it's really the Goose Hollow Neighborhood Plan. When we did that plan, we very, very consciously planned a certain scale of that place. It wasn't tiny by any means, but it did make certain assumptions about the carrying capacity of the place, how you got into it, how you got out of it. It made some assumptions about what people needed. One of the primary principles in that plan, which applies really as well, I think, to what I'm hearing people say about the West End, is that it should be a people place. It should be a place that has housing for families. It should be a place that has housing for all the folks that are in between those two polar opposites that you've heard about being attracted to high density and high-rise dominated places. So how do you get there? Well, one of the things that you really do have to think about and that I find missing in this in the plan is an attention to scale elements. What do you do for active recreation, for instance, in the West End or in Goose Hollow?
So, Joe, answer, let me just stop you because I need some clarification. In Goose Hollow, are the heights proposed to be increased?
That's a very interesting question because the graphic that exists in the West in the Western Quadrant document that you have uses, for instance, 175 foot height for a large part of Goose Hollow. The height that limit that's in the in Title 33, in 520, is 100 feet. Where do you get the extra height? It's the bonus.
So this goes back to Tracy's point about have the actual height, not the height with the bonus.
Exactly.
So are they actually proposing changing the base height or not?
I don't think you can tell that from the text or from the graphics in the quadrant plan.
I'm very relieved to hear you say that because I've been studying it and I couldn't.
Trying remember. To figure out the same thing? Yeah.
So
okay.
That's something that we'll get clarification.
A little piece of history that, that might help. And I don't think actually there are too many people that knew that the bonus height that, that goes through downtown Portland and applies in the vicinity, a radius of every light rail station, was put in place as a citywide effort to encourage development around light rail stations in East County. It was totally inapplicable and maybe even counterproductive in the downtown area.
So do you, you what you would like to see is to keep the heights in Goose Hollow the way they are currently in the zoning code?
I would like to see the bonus heights removed from the central city plan area, frankly.
But as far as the base zone heights?
The base zone, I don't have a quarrel with that.
Thank you.
Two more points. One is there was a question with respect to Jefferson. Jefferson is becoming the kind of main street that it once aspired to be. We've sort of shook off the problem of having been a federal aid secondary highway. And have become again a main street. Don't interfere with that. Let the commercial storefront character go all the way from should I say the museum or the park blocks to the reservoirs. That's really a critical part. The other thing is Burnside. There's an ad hoc group that has been meeting with respect to Burnside. You're all well aware that there is a plan on the city's books still for a couplet on Burnside. Goose Hollow has never really wavered from its support for that couplet, and we fear that, that probably the city has. There have been alternatives offered that never quite passed muster. We can't let Burnside languish as a sort of failed area simply because there's never been any directed action on it. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your work. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Steve Pinger, and I reside at 2669 Northwest Xavier Street. And believe it or not, I was actually in this very room 43-odd years ago for the when the downtown plan was adopted by council, a different council, it appears to me. But
different room, too.
Turn it around, exactly. Exactly. More recently, however, I was a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee for the West Quadrant Plan, and I wrote the minority report on building height policy. I hope that you've had the opportunity to read through the minority report, because I feel that in four fairly undense pages. It raises a handful of important questions about current and proposed building height policy. But at heart, the minority report is not really about building heights, but about what kind of city do we want Portland to become over the next generation? How we manage how tall buildings can be and where they could be built is fundamental to this question, and no other factor has the ability to influence the livability of the central city as much as this does. And Portland's livability is truly its greatest asset. Everybody wants to come to live and work in Portland, and not because of its exciting skyline, but because of its comfortable scale, the character of its streets and neighborhoods, and its unpretentious buildings and way of life. These qualities are the soul of Portland that I believe we need to be careful to conserve, and that I fear the building height concept of the West Quadrant Plan as currently written puts in jeopardy. And so my request is that the Council consider adopting the four specific recommendations of the Minority Report along with the West Quadrant Plan. The recommendations do not suggest lowering building heights or any changes in current policy. They are intended to be uncontroversial and simply to establish the framework for a more comprehensive review of this critical area of public policy as the West Quadrant Plan goes forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve. We appreciate it. Okay. Thank you all.
Next three are Ron Paul, Stefan Lewis, and John Zarnicki.
Good evening.
Okay. How about Dwayne Betts?
Ron, go ahead while John's getting settled there.
Good evening, Ron Paul, director of the James Beard Market. Had I known that we were going this late, I should have brought treats.
Yeah, where's the food? Right. Come on now.
Smoked salmon.
Right. The area of the plan that I want to address is the Morrison Bridgehead, which is the proposed site for the James Beard Market. The site is at an urban crossroads, not at an urban cul-de-sac. And it really deserves the kind of flexibility that the plan allows. The purpose of the market is really to enhance the viability of local foods for the entire city and to create a pipeline for 60 to 70 independent, locally owned, non-franchise food merchants to be able to showcase the bounty that really is growing right outside the urban growth boundary. In the 70s, we created the UGB, and we allowed family farms to survive. And survive they did, but often just barely. With the development of the market, we have a chance for them to thrive. And that is really the purpose of the integration and the actualization of the rhetoric that we've had in bridging the urban-rural divide. The flexibility that the plan allows really is a testament to the commitment to the rhetoric of the just long-held rhetoric of connecting to the river. We haven't done it. Joe Zender laid out a vision in his presentation 4+ hours ago. Commissioner Fish immediately asked him, how are we going to actualize that? Well, let's take some concrete steps, like the market along the riverfront, to bring over 1 million people a year to the most neglected part of our city. We talk about historic preservation. Well, we're preserving 3+ acres of asphalt surface parking lot that have been around since the 50s as a staging area for the Morrison Bridge. We have an opportunity to be more than timid, as the plan has been alluded to. We can be bold and the Morrison Bridgehead is one of those catalytic opportunities. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, John.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm John Zarnicki. I'm an architect, past chair of the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission, and also a past architectural consultant to Oregon Housing and Community Services regarding affordable housing. I have a